In church this morning for this time of worship and celebration. I trust that you've all had a good weekend, Christmas gatherings with family and friends. Maybe you've had that, maybe it's still yet to come, but it's just an awesome time of year, isn't it? To be together with kids and maybe some grandkids and family and friends, and of course we're most grateful for God's most outstanding gift, His Son Jesus Christ. And we're here to worship Him this morning. What a bright and glorious morning God has provided, huh? Sun is out, there's no snow. I always say a day without snow is another day without snow. So, it's good. We're here to worship the light of Jesus Christ. And 700 years before Jesus was born, Isaiah, the prophet, talked about that light that was coming. And he said this. He said, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. And Jesus is that light, and He is our life." And so it's in His name and in His power we worship this morning. So let's do that together and experience the joy of the Lord of the in this season. So let's take a moment to stand up and just greet one another however you feel comfortable, and then we'll worship God.
Sing a little louder. Sing a little louder.
Sing a little louder.
Sing a little louder.
Sing a little louder.
Sing a little louder.
Sing a little louder.
Sing a little louder.
In the presence of my enemies.
Sing a little louder. Hope will arise. Death is defeated. The King is alive. I raise a hallelujah. I raise a hallelujah. I raise a hallelujah. A hallelujah. Worthy of every song we could ever sing.
Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring.
Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you.
Jesus, the name above every other name.
Jesus, the only one who could ever save.
Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe,
we live for you,
we live for you.
Holy, there is no one like you, there is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder and show me who you are and fill me with your heart and to those around me.
Worthy of every song we could ever sing.
Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring.
Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe,
we live for you.
Jesus, the name above every other name.
Jesus, the only one who could ever save.
Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe,
we live for you.
Oh, we live for you.
Holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder and show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me.
salvation. I will put my trust in you alone, and I will not be shaken. I will build my life upon your love. It is a firm foundation. I will put my trust in you alone, and I will not be shaken. Holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder. Show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me.
Children, I think it's your turn to be dismissed at this point, to go to your time this morning, so make your way in that direction. So I just want to remind you before we pray this morning that next Sunday, the first Sunday of 2022, next Sunday, on January the 2nd, we will celebrate the Lord's Supper together here. Given the state of COVID in our community, the elders have determined that next Sunday, at least just for January, that we will return to the prepackaged elements for communion next Sunday. So come prepared for that as you pick that up on the way in next Sunday, and we'll celebrate the Lord's Supper together, but we'll do so with the prepackaged elements. Given that, we're going to spend just a moment in a time of confession and assurance as we think about celebrating the Lord's Supper next Sunday. When Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary, he became like us in all things but sin. May we who have been reborn in him be free from our sinful ways. So let's take a moment just to confess to God in prayer. Will you pray with me? God of love, all year long we pursue power and money, and yet you come in weakness. All season long we covet great material gifts, when you alone offer what is lasting. Through the work of this Lord Jesus, who comes among us full of grace and truth, forgive us, heal us, correct us. Then open our lips that we may sing your praises with the angels, and remake our lives that we may witness to your transforming love. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. And the angel announced, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born, and he is Messiah the Lord. And it is through this Messiah Jesus that our sins are forgiven. Thanks be to God. A couple of announcements, and then we're going to get to our time of prayer as a congregation this morning. Just to remind you of the offering, the first offering this morning is for the ministries of the church. Second offering is for benevolence. So we're grateful for your giving and your generosity for this year and always. Also, youth group, you have a hangout time on Tuesday with Brian. Anybody else going to be there? Okay, hopefully. some pizza, some bowling. So middle school and high school reserve Tuesday from afternoon from about noon to 3, and you can hang out and enjoy a time together. This is, in case you didn't realize it, the last Sunday of 2021. Isn't that something? The last Sunday of the year that we'll gather as a church for worship. As we look back, a lot of things to be grateful for, right? A lot of difficult times, challenging times that God has brought us through by his faithfulness and grace. And so it's appropriate for us today to just spend a moment or two in prayer, thanking God for his goodness, thanking him for his faithfulness and for his grace throughout this entire past year, and then committing ourselves to him, living lives of faithfulness and obedience in this new upcoming year. So, would you join me in just a word of prayer this morning? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, on this last Sunday of the year 2021, we are indeed grateful for your great love and grace that has sustained us through a, well, very difficult and challenging year. Your compassion has never failed us. Every morning of this year, we woke up to a new piece of your faithfulness. So we thank you for the many ways that you have provided for each of us this year. We're here because of your grace and your providence in our lives. We thank you that you are a God who enters into our suffering, that you do not stand aloof or distant, but that you enter into our pain, bearing our burdens, knowing exactly how we feel. So thank you, Lord, for your presence with us in all of the circumstances of this past year. We thank you for the hope that we can have because you came to us in the flesh of Jesus to overcome the sin and darkness and evil of our world. And so, Lord, as we reflect today, you have blessed us in so many ways. You have blessed us as a church over this past year. Through good times and difficult times, we have felt your hand of grace, forgiveness, and healing. And so, Lord, today as a congregation, we want to express our gratitude to you. Lord, we thank you for the many opportunities that we have had to serve you, to demonstrate our love for you to our co-workers, our neighbors, our families, our friends. We thank you for the many among us who make possible the ministries of this church, who volunteer, who work, who give time, who invest their lives in ministry. Lord, thank you for opportunities to serve together in the fellowship of the gospel here at West End. And Lord, we thank you that even when sickness and accidents make our future uncertain, you are still with us, strengthening, healing, encouraging. And so we thank you that we can be part of the healing process as we help care for one another. Lord, we especially thank you for all who have felt your healing and sustaining touch in this past year. Lord, we pray today for your grace and faithfulness to continue for those in special need. As we sit here this morning, we think of family members or maybe ourselves who are sick or who are sad or who are anxious or maybe even depressed or who are grieving. And Lord, we just commit ourselves, our friends, our families into your hand of grace and mercy. Indeed, Lord, you have blessed us. We have been blessed materially, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. And as we look back over this past year, we realize that we have much to be grateful for. We humbly receive the gifts you have given us, knowing that you are the giver of all good things. And so together this morning, we say, for these blessings, Lord, we give you thanks. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. It's good to be here and given the opportunity to share with you here this morning. And I hope you guys all had a great Christmas. We were gathered here in worship yesterday, and we had such a great time. We said, let's just do it again, you know. And so we are glad that we could be here worshiping our God and our Savior here today. Hope you all had a great Christmas. The last couple days have just been so much fun celebrating Christmas with our family. My girls are between the ages of 5 and 10, which means that they're at such a great age for Christmas. They get so excited about everything associated with Christmas. So it's been a lot of fun. I hope you guys had a lot of fun as well. I just love this time of year. I just feel like Christmas is just filled with this great sense of wonder. And as the radio reminds us over and over again, it's the best time of the year. But we also know that Christmas can get difficult for some people. And so today I want to talk about hope, because hope just seems so alive at Christmas, doesn't it? And there's something so powerful about hope, this idea that something is going to come, something is going to change, something is going to change, and this, even in the most darkest moments of our life, even the slightest glimpse of hope can cause us to continue to move forward and cause us not to give up. And what I love about hope is that by its very nature, by its very existence, it exists with us in the uncertainty. That even when everything else leaves and we're left broken and alone, hope is the one thing that will come in and sit with us in our pain, in our questions, and in our doubt. You see, hope is this understanding. Actually, it's this belief that things can change, that something's going to happen to make what we're going through right now better than what it is right now. It's just the belief that something in the future is going to get better. And it's not something that just exists in the future. Hope is so powerful that it reaches right into the present and makes a difference in our lives right here in this moment. Because real hope that we find in the birth of Jesus Christ impacts us here and now. It makes a difference in our lives. Yesterday, we celebrated the birth of Jesus. And at a time and a place and a manner that was so unexpected, hope was born and was given a name, Jesus. And with the birth of Jesus, we discover the greatest hope of all. So let's read that story here today as we find in Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2 is a story of Christ's birth. It's something that we've read before. It's something that you're familiar with. But today, let's read it, because I just deeply believe that the circumstances of Christ's birth can speak deeply to the circumstances that some of us might be experiencing today. So what is now our custom, why don't we stand up, as if you are able, if you can stand up as we read the first 20 verses of Luke chapter 2. Starting at verse 1, in those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, to the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks by night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone all around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you, and he is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find the baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angels, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in a manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds had said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. You may be seated. Join me in a word of prayer. God, we thank you for the words on these pages, the story of how you entered our broken world. God, we know that this is your living word. We know that your spirit is alive in this place and in our hearts. So here today, may your word come alive and may we be reminded of the hope that we have in you. Lord, this we pray. Amen. So our story opens up today with this reminder that God can show up in the chaos. We find hope in the chaos. In fact, our scripture opens up with this idea that Mary and Joseph are told that they need to go to the town of Bethlehem because there's a census that is taking place. So Mary and Joseph make the trek, and they go from Nazareth down to Bethlehem, and this little town of Bethlehem, which is this village about 6 miles outside of Jerusalem, this little town is now hustling and bustling and just filled with a whole lot more chaos and stress than it normally would be. And to some level, we understand what this is like, right? There are certain seasons of life where we know just get busier and more stressful than others. Anybody here try to travel Alpine the last 2 weeks, right? You know what I'm talking about. Anybody here shop at the Meijer in Standale, and then you walk in there in the middle of August after all the students have arrived back at Grand Valley? There's a different level of craziness that is happening at this time. And this little town of Bethlehem has this census taking place, which means that it's just so much busier than normal. And Mary is navigating this while being so very pregnant. I just envision this part of their lives being far from being calm and bright. There's this feeling of chaos and frustration. And yet, right in the middle of this chaos, Jesus is born. Because this is what God does. Right in the very beginning of the Bible, God stepped into the nothingness. He stepped into the chaos, and he started creating order and beauty and something good. Later on in Jesus' life, he's going to stand in the middle of a boat with winds and waves crashing up against it, and the chaos was overwhelming, and he's going to calm the sea. Right in the middle of chaos, Christ is born. And with this birth of this baby, in the middle of a time that was crazy and busy and chaotic, hope arrives on the scene. And we need to be reminded of this, don't we? I mean, we are living in a world that is just full of chaos right now. Between the politics and the pandemics, there just seems to be so much unrest right now. Businesses can't get enough workers. There seems to be a shortage of supplies everywhere. The cost of things continue to rise. And I just heard recently to the point that the dollar store is now going to start charging $1.25 for their items. What is going on in our world? It's crazy, and there's a sense of chaos that is going out there. And it's not just the chaos that is all around us. We have a sense of chaos that is deep within our soul. I work with students, and I talk to my kids. We know that anxiety and depression are just a very real part of our world today. We have chaos in our world, we have chaos in a Christmas season, and we have chaos deep in our hearts. And right here in the middle of all this chaos, we're given this reminder. We're given the reminder of the angels. They say, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace." What a beautiful reminder this is for us today. That in the middle of our chaos, our Savior steps in with a promise of peace. We get to know what this baby in the manger is going to do in its life. He's going to live and love, and he's going to die, and he's going to rise again, and he's going to come again someday. Because of what we know what will happen in the future, it impacts the way we handle the chaos in our lives today. The chaos still exists, but because of the hope we have, we're able to stand right in the middle of the chaos, and we can be still because we know that this baby is God. We cling to the good news and the peace that is available through our living hope, and we find hope in the chaos because hope was born in the chaos. Hope is not just born in the chaos, hope is also born in the mess. In our lives, we experience messy situations, right? We have relationships that sometimes get messy. Our story goes on to talk about how Mary and Joseph came time to them to give birth. And we get this very familiar passage in Scripture, one that I want you to complete this verse for me. So when we get to the end, you just finish up this verse. So read with me. "She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger because there was no room in the inn." You see, we grow up with this image of Mary and Joseph coming to this point in their life where all of a sudden it's time to give birth and they just can't even find a place to stay. Because there's so much business, because there's so much chaos, I grew up with this image of Mary and Joseph knocking on doors, trying to find a place to stay, and yet they continued to get frustrated and left out in the dark. But yet, if you read this passage in my Bible, if you have a Bible that was published in the last 10 years, they have changed the way that this passage, this verse, ends. If you were to read this in any of the current translations, even in the NIV, it actually says that there was no guest room available to them. And this becomes a little more consistent with the culture that was so high on hospitality back in the day. Most houses were built with a guest room so that when people needed a place to stay, they could stay there, which really gets me to begging the question and made me think of the question is, why in the world would somebody who's that close to having a baby not be given the guest room? Now, maybe Mary and Joseph, whatever relative that they were staying with, maybe they didn't have a guest room. Scripture makes it clear that Mary and Joseph did not come from a family of wealth. Or maybe that the older people in the family got the guest room. Kind of like at Christmas dinner, you know, you have the big kids table, you got the adult table where you eat, and you have the kids table that's kind of off to the side. Maybe Mary and Joseph, because they were younger, they get the kids table. But maybe, and this wouldn't be hard for me to believe, that maybe, just maybe, that these teenagers who were pregnant out of wedlock brought some disgrace upon the family. I just can't imagine that Mary and Joseph walked this journey without things getting messy within some of the family dynamics. I mean, we know how family works, right? We go through times, we go through situations in life, and sometimes it's met with grace, much like Mary experienced with her cousin Elizabeth. But sometimes we go through experiences in life and things just get messy, right? Family has a way to ask questions or to push and to prod or to offer their opinions when you really don't need that, or because it comes unhelpful. Either way, we know that Christ, as he grows up, he's going to have some tension and some relationship issues and challenges that he has with his brothers. We just know that Christ and his family have grown up with this understanding that family sometimes has drama. And sometimes we experience that in our lives too. Perhaps in this world of family messy dynamics, hope was born. Either way, in this time when family might have had some high drama, Jesus was born. So my question for you today is, are you dealing with some family drama? Are you dealing with relationships in your life that just aren't the way that you wish that they could be? Today, I want you to find hope in the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Because what we see in this story is that gathered around this baby in the manger, we're going to see wise men and kings standing next to shepherds, and we're going to have animals next to teenagers, all gathered around this baby, because this is what Christ does. He brings people together. He heals that which is broken. And it's not just in his birth, because we get this beautiful vision in Revelation chapter 7, and it says this: "After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, every tribe, every people, and every language, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb." What a beautiful image of how things are going to go. This image of how things are going to be someday, where all these broken pieces in our life, all these things that we wish we could change, we could somehow heal, we pray for God to step in and to make better. We're given this vision that at some point God can bring these things back together. And we're not going to be gathered around a manger, but we're going to be gathered around a throne with these relationships potentially being healed. We have this hope that Jesus can fix what is broken. He can restore the broken relationships that are causing so much pain today. And we have this hope because this precious baby, our Savior, was born and has the power to restore all things and to bring healing to those areas that are heavy on our heart today. And we hold on to this heart, this hope, during the messy times. And we deeply believe that this hope for what will be impacts the way we handle the here and the now. We know that God showed up in the chaos, and we know that hope showed up in the family drama and the brokenness, but hope also shows up in the darkness. We read this in our passage: "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. As Pastor Dan preached on a couple weeks ago, the shepherds were often just the kids in the family. They were the young people of the family, often even the girls. You're sitting out there, and it's just, a lot of times, it's just you and a bunch of sheep. Imagine those nights could get long and lonely. And if the flock was big enough, there might be one or two others with you, but those could be some very long nights. And I think it's important to point out that Christ did not show up at high noon. He showed up in the darkness. He entered our world where things were dark, and in that darkness shone a bright light. You see, this feeling of being isolated and alone is a feeling I think a lot of us can relate to today. Even when we're surrounded by people like we are today, we sometimes feel so alone. Christ did not show up at high noon. He entered our broken and weary world in the darkness, because that is what God does. God steps into the dark and lonely times of our lives and reminds us that he is with us, that he is Emmanuel, God with us. When you find yourself in the darkness, when you find yourself feeling so isolated and alone, may you be reminded of this God-given truth that we are not alone, that we have a Savior who showed up. And much like hope is alive in our lives here today. We are not alone, even in our darkest and loneliest moments. Christ has come, and he's Emmanuel, God with us. We have hope even in the darkest times of our lives. And finally, if we're going to talk about hope, this idea that something in the future can make a difference in our lives here today, then we need to talk about the fact that we have hope in what is yet to come. Because we're given this image over and over again in Scripture of how things are going to turn out. This idea of what can happen and will happen can impact the way we handle today. You see, in Revelations, we're told that God is going to take this mess, and he's going to take this brokenness that we deal with, and he's going to make things new. But beyond that, he's going to take this mess and the brokenness that is found in each and every one of us and make us new. The goal isn't just to make things better for us, but rather to make us better, because we can't fix the mess in this world until we fix the mess that is inside each and every one of us. Revelations 21 tells us of our great hope, of the day when all things will be made new. And it says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, a day when he will wipe away every tear from their eye. There will be no more death, no more mourning or crying or pain, for the old order has passed away. He who is seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. And then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. See, this vision of how things will be gives us hope, and this hope impacts the way we live here and now. We know that Christ is going to bring healing to the broken parts of our lives. We know that he is going to wipe away every tear from our eye, and we are called to live like that here and now. We believe this because this is not something that's based off of hope or just off of wishful thinking. It's based off of the promise of God of who he is. These words are trustworthy and true because he is trustworthy and true. I love how Romans 15 puts it. Romans 15 says, I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in him. Isn't that just a beautiful reminder that Jesus, our God, is the source of our hope? And here, we're given this promise of joy and peace, which are words that we see throughout the Christmas story. We have joy and we have peace as promised to us. We have hope to find joy and peace. For those who are struggling to find joy, those who are struggling to feel peace, we have the hope that that will come because Christ is the source of that hope. It is part of who he is. It is part of his character. This is not a hope based off of circumstances or wishful thinking, but it's a hope based off the promises of God. We sing the song, "A Little Town of Bethlehem." And in there, we has this line, "The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight." These things that we hope for, the peace among the chaos, the healing to some of these relationships that we just long to have God step in and make things right, these dark and lonely moments of our life, all these things that we wrestle with and we struggle with in our world, they are met with hope tonight because hope was born and stepped into our world. What a beautiful promise that is. We also sing the song, "O Holy Night." And it has this line in there, "The thrill of hope, a weary world rejoices." I love that line, "the thrill of hope." For anyone who's been in a situation where you're hurting and you're struggling and you get that bit of news that just gives you hope, it just is like a light shining in the darkness, which is the image that the Gospel of John gives us over and over again. This light has come to our world. This light comes into our weary world, and it gives us a thrill. It shoots like this feeling of joy and hope right into our hearts, and it's a thrill. In the middle of whatever is going on in your life today, whatever is weighing you down, I want to remind you that there is a hope, that Christmas reminds us that hope is alive, and our world craves this hope that we celebrate here tonight. We need this hope, don't we? So what is it that you hope for? The shepherd's response was, "Let's go. Let's just go and see this thing that has happened." And I'm here to remind you that hope is born. Hope is alive. And this feeling of hope is a thrill to our hearts. In fact, Hebrews 6 tells us this hope becomes an anchor for our soul. So no matter how weary or tired or overwhelmed your heart and your soul feels tonight, may you know that hope is alive. For some of you, to realize this hope and to see it come through into your life, it might require a journey. Much like the wise men had to travel and had to go on a journey, you might have to go on a journey too to see this hope realized in your life. But I'm here to remind you that hope is all around us. Hope is worth pursuing. Just be willing to begin that journey and to believe once again. For the rest of us, hope is alive. Hope is near. Just like the shepherds just had to go a short distance to find this hope in a manger, our hope is so close and is all around us. I just want you to go and to run and to find it yourself. Believe once again that there is hope for whatever it is that you've been praying for. Know that hope is alive in this world and that hope is alive in your life. And once you see that hope is alive, we just need to go and to share this hope with our weary world. The shepherds shared this hope with everyone they met, and may we do the same. People of God, hope is alive. This hope steps into our hearts here today and provides a thrill knowing that hope is not dead. I want you to feel that hope today. Let's be reminded that hope is alive, and whatever it is that you are praying for, and whatever it is that you are hoping for, may you know that the God of all things is aware of that, and that we put our hope in Him. Let's remind our weary world and our weary souls that hope is alive today. Amen. Let's pray. God, we come before you and we just bring our requests. We have things going on in our lives that seem to be out of our control. We have things in our life that are just not the way we want them to be. And God, we continue to bring them before you, knowing that you are alive, that we put our hope in you to make things new, to make us new, So God, whatever is on our hearts here today, we bring them before you anew. May you restore the sense of hope that is available through you and you alone. We thank you that you stepped into our broken world, not just to fix things afar, but that you could be here with us with flesh on, that our hope is here among us because you are Emmanuel, God, with us. May we feel your presence in our weary world and in our weary soul here tonight. Lord, this we pray in your precious and holy name. Amen.
Would you stand with us as we sing Living Hope?
How great the chasm that lay between us. How high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation, I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night. And through the darkness, your loving kindness shadow of my soul. The work is finished, the end is written. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Who could imagine so great a mercy? What heart could fathom such boundless grace? The God of ages stepped down from glory to wear my sin and bear my shame. The cross has spoken, I am forgiven. The King of Kings calls me his own. Beautiful Savior, I'm yours forever. Jesus Christ, my living hope.
Hallelujah. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah. Praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah. Death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Then came the morning that sealed a promise. Your buried body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared the grave has no claim on me. Then came the morning that sealed the promise. Your buried body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared the grave has no claim on me. lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Jesus Christ, my living hope. God, you are my living hope.
Living hope. May we hold on to this knowledge that hope is alive, and whatever it is that you are wrestling with today, may you hold on to the hope that the God of all things can change all things. And as you do, may this God of hope fill you with all the joy and the peace as you trust in him. Not just because it's Christmas, but because God is with us, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. May you go in that peace and the power and the hope.